You've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? Our aim is to point you to Jesus. Your investment in His Will Ministry helps to spread God's Word around the world through this radio program and other outreaches. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you, and here's Pastor Warner.
I want to talk today about being sanctified. This is something God has put on my heart so hard. About being sanctified, about being holy, about being pure. So let's start out with the bad news. Let's go to 1 John, and we're going to start out with the bad news. There's a song out that is one of my daughter's favorites. And it's by Donnie McCracken, right? McClurkin. I can never remember this man's name. Donnie McClurkin. And it's called We Fall Down, But We Get Up. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. And that's basically the gist of the song. And finally it gets around to, but we're forgiven saints. But we fall down and we get up. Okay, let's look at 1 John. The bad news first. Chapter 3, verse 4. Whoever commits a sin is also committing lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him, there is no sin. Okay? Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins, now this is the part that's the bad news. Whoever sins has neither seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. Whew, that's nasty. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So whoever has been born of God does not, what's it say? Sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. This is one of those verses you just don't like. Because what does it say? It takes away the thing of, I've got to sin. I just always sin. I sin three or four times a day. Well, what did John say here? He said, if you sinned, you're what? Ooh, you're of the devil. It's getting awful quiet in here. Sin is of the devil. God never planned on you and I sinning. And He still doesn't plan on us being sinners after we have been saved by grace. Now, you have to understand, a lot of people get into this thing of it's impossible to sin. Yes, it is possible to sin, but it's impossible if you don't want to, because it's a conscious decision. You make the decision to sin. You don't sin accidentally. You can't sin accidentally. You can make a mistake, but if you don't know about that mistake, it's not a sin. Because you didn't consciously do it. Just because you have this momentary thought zip through your mind and you don't act on it, that isn't a sin. But if it zips through your mind and you put your hand right here to stop it and you hold on to it and you think about it and you act on it, that's a sin. And see, that's why John, the beloved one, could say, you don't sin if you got Christ in you. Now, he walked with God. He had to have known. You don't have to sin. You don't have to make the conscious decision to say, I want to be a sinner. The world is doing enough of that. Why do you think Jesus said, it is better to have never known than to have heard the word and walked away? Do you think the people that walk away just get caught up in some sin and don't know they're sinning? Do you think they accidentally walk away? They accidentally get caught up in that sin? Nuh-uh. They make a conscious decision. Whether it takes 10 years to bring them down, or 10 days, or 10 minutes, they have made the conscious decision. Now, many times we make little conscious decisions, and those stack up to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until we fall into sin and we fall away. But we have still made the decision. Nobody forced us to sin. If there's sin in your life right now, you made that decision to let it be there. Now, John tells us how hard it is to tame the tongue. But if we mouth off accidentally and repent of it, that's not really going and consciously sinning. It's a growth factor because we haven't become holy. You have to think there's a difference now between an active sin and not being holy or sanctified. The word sanctified is defined as to be set apart. So, if we are sanctified, if we are holy, and holy is a lot more than just sanctified, but sanctified means to be set apart. Well, just because you're set apart doesn't mean you're perfect. What's the bumper sticker say? I always love that one. Guy driving down the road says, I'm sorry, Christ's not finished with me yet. God's not finished with you yet. Until you reach that perfection point. And that perfection point is holiness. Okay, let's look what Jesus said about holiness. Look in the Gospel of John chapter 17. This is also the one unanswered prayer of Jesus. Three places here, Jesus asked for the disciples to be one, you and I to be one, the church to be one, and guess what? It hadn't happened. We're still not of one mind. The one unanswered prayer in the Bible. But let's look at chapter 17, starting with verse 15. The Gospel of John 17:15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Now, he is talking here about you and I specifically. He's already said, I pray for my apostles. Now I'm praying for the ones that hear the word because of them. He's talking about you and I specifically. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Now get this, they are not of the world just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word sanctified is defined as to make holy. What did Jesus say about us? Are you in the world right now? Because if you're living in the world and living for the world, there's no way you can attain holiness. You can't even be sanctified. Because what does he say about those? He says, I am praying for those that have come to me because the disciples or someone that the disciples taught brought them to me. And he says, just like I'm not of the world, they're not of the world. He doesn't pray for you and I to be taken. He doesn't pray for us to be taken out like that. He prays for us to be kept from the evil one. Don't you, you can't ask for a better prayer. This is Jesus talking to his Father. I want you to keep him from the evil one. Now, is God true? Is God holy? Is God word right? Then, if you're sinning, you're entertaining the evil one. So is God then a liar? As Paul says, God forbid. God is not a liar. Jesus is not a liar. Jesus prayed that we would be protected from the Holy One because we're not of the world. See, that's the first part of becoming holy. You've got to be separate from the world. The world's got to see a difference. You want this church filled up? You walk out that door, the world's got to see a difference in you. They've got to see a difference in your face, a difference in your attitude, a difference in the way you walk, a difference in the way you talk. They've got to see a difference in you that makes them hungry. You want to be able to witness to people, there'll be a difference. Because those people are going to walk up to you and they're going to say, I want what you've got. What is it? And if they don't, then no matter how many Bibles you've got, no matter how many witnessing courses you take, it's going to do no good. You can walk up to somebody and tell them, I love Jesus. Yes, I do, because the Bible tells me so. And they're going to see you go out, turn right around and beat your wife, kick your dog, you know, cuss out your truck, whatever the case. And they're going to say, well, there's no difference between him and me. I have one of the saddest stories, I think, in the world. I've got people in Pinedale that I can't get into a church because they've seen church members at the Cowboy Bar. And in their opinion, there's no difference between a church member that loves Jesus and somebody that sits in a bar. Now, that's an extreme, but a true story. People watch you. If you tell them you're a Christian and you walk out this door, they're watching you. They're looking. And you have to be holy. We want a Holy Ghost revival. How can you get a Holy Ghost revival if we're not holy? You know, we're seeking God. We're seeking the power of the Holy Ghost to come down on us. But how can you have a Holy Ghost revival if you're not holy? The Spirit of God comes down, but it says in the Bible, He comes out. Think about it. Jesus resides in us. The Spirit of God resides in us. If you want a Holy Ghost revival, where is the Spirit? We talk about Him coming down. He doesn't come down. Paul says, He comes out like a river of living waters. Well, He can't come out because He can't be in if we're not holy. The Holy Ghost can't reside in something that's not absolutely holy and pure. That's one that's been on me for a long time. But I haven't been. I'm human. And I'm working and praying. My daily prayer is that God create in me first a praying heart. That should be your prayer every day. First that He create in you a praying heart. Because what that does is that drives you to your knees. That drives you to your faith. That drives you to your corner. And you want to talk to God. The second thing that you should be asking is that His will be done. Always His will, not yours. Put aside yourself and let Him take control. The third thing is to be holy, like He is holy. And when those things are accomplished, you're going to see things happen here like you've never thought could happen. You're going to see things take off like you've never... You know, why do you think people like Smith Wigglesworth and the great Pentecostals were that way? They were holy. They were truly holy. Because they had one thing in mind, and that was doing their Father's will. Let's look at Peter. I love what he says about it. 1 Peter... Chapter 4? No, chapter 1. Yeah, chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. Don't you love Peter? Peter's always so bold. Okay? He starts out here. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. In other words, you're a bunch of dummies if you do, is what he's saying. Then he goes on and says, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Now, if we want to see where that written is, we can look at Leviticus 19:2. Which is not the exact quote, but I love this one because this is God talking through Moses. And we can't say, oh, well, we can only be holy under the Holy Spirit, because this is God talking to Moses before the Holy Spirit was poured out. This is God talking to Moses before Jesus had been sacrificed for our transgressions. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, your God, am holy. He didn't give him a choice, did he? He didn't say, you know, I'd really like the Israelites to be holy. You know, it's just really bugging me, Moses. I mean, I'm trying to feed them. I'm trying to care for them. I'm trying to teach them. They're just not holy. I mean, I'd really like that. God didn't give him a choice. God came down to Moses and he said, be ye holy. And on top of that, he added, shall. You shall be. It's not you might be. You will be. You shall be holy. Peter says we are to be holy as, who is? Jesus is. God is. So it's something that we have to work to obtain. Holiness doesn't just happen. Holiness doesn't just occur in your life. You know, this is out of a dictionary. The dictionary knows better than we do. This is a dictionary that was published over 20 years ago. Holy means one, sacred. Two, commanding absolute devotion. Three, spiritually pure. Okay, let's take a short test. Everybody get out your pencils and paper. I'll be passing out the exam. But you don't have to answer. It's up in your head. First one. Holy means sacred. Sacred means set apart. Special. How many think you're set apart and special? We're just going by the Webster's Dictionary. We're not going to even talk about the Bible for a second. Two, completely commanding absolute devotion. How many of you, on number two, can write down that, yes, I give God my 100% absolute devotion. Above my wife, above my kids, above my business, above my bank account, above my snowmobile, above my boat. You know, I passed four trucks with four snowmobiles each coming down here today going up to Pinedale. Guess what their absolute devotion goes to? At $10,000 a piece for a high-end snowmobile plus the trailer plus the truck to haul them, they have a really nice devotion to those snowmobiles, don't they? Let's go to the third one. Can you answer yes or no? Spiritually pure. Are you spiritually pure? When was the last time that you watched television? When was the last time you watched television? Now, if it wasn't a program about the Lord, it isn't spiritually pure, because I don't watch much television, but every single time I've turned it on, whether it's PBS or the over-there broadcasting, we don't have cable, it has not been anything that's spiritually pure. You can't tell me a show called Law and Order Sexual Violence Unit is spiritually pure. You can't tell me Fear Factor would be spiritually pure. See, that's the things. And I know I'm getting harsh. And I know I'm getting hard because there's a lot of people that live for their soap operas. I know a pastor that lives for his soap operas. And I can't get him away from that. But I don't care what you tell me. You find it here in the Bible where it says you can watch a soap opera where they're in bed with each other, where they're murdering each other, where they're stealing money, and you're getting spiritually pure. There, and I don't even know if it's still on the air. There used to be a show called CSI that was basically a crime scene investigation or something like that. And it basically was looking at a crime scene from the side of the dead body and all the evidence. And it became, I guess, one of the most popular shows there were because of the macabre and looking at that kind of thing. Is that spiritually pure? Is that putting spiritual purity into your heart? If you pop in a CD and the first song to pop up is a country western song, Somebody Done Me Somebody Wrong, or Satin Sheets and Satin Pillows, or My D-I-V-I-O-R-C-E Is Done, is that spiritually pure? If you pop in some hard rock and it starts playing, Come On Baby, Light My Fire. How many people know the song Puff the Magic Dragon was written about marijuana? The Beatles song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, LSD. Those aren't spiritually pure, are they? This is what we have to, as Christians, be aware of. Everything we do has to be spiritually pure. If we're putting garbage in, we can't expect the Holy Spirit to be there. And if we're putting garbage in, we can't expect the Holy Spirit to be here. I want a revival. I'm so to speak, literally dying for a revival. I am so thirsty. I am like David said in the Psalms. I am like the deer that pants with thirst for the water. My soul longeth. My spirit thirsteth for the Lord. That's what you have to get holy. If you don't have that in your life, 10 years from now, this church is going to be the same place. It's not going to be full. 10 years from now, it's going to be the same place. You guys are praying for a pastor. I know you are. In your own times, even when we're here. How many people have gotten down on their hands and knees and supplicated for hours, or how many people have fasted for 2 or 3 days or even 2 or 3 hours for that need? See, that's where the holiness comes in, as we seek the Lord. Let's look at what the Bible says. See, the Bible agrees partially with what the dictionary says, because the Bible was the written word long before man came up with a dictionary, wasn't it? Long before man ever wrote the first dictionary, this existed. So if you look up certain words in the dictionary, you'll find part of their definition came from this. But in the Bible, we find that holiness means 4 different levels. And I call these levels because they're levels of growth. Okay? The first thing about the first level in the growth of holiness, personal holiness, is to be set apart. But then there's one little addendum after set apart, conformed to the will of God. Okay? You're not really truly set apart as a Christian if your whole goal in life is not to fulfill the will of God for your life. What did Jesus teach us? He taught us how to pray. And when He taught us how to pray, He taught us how to pray in importance. The first thing was, Father, hallowed be Thy name. Okay, the first thing in your prayer should be worship. You should be worshiping the Lord. What was the second thing He said? Everybody should have this memorized from Sunday school as a kid. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Say, Thy kingdom come. Lord Jesus was teaching us that the most important thing in prayer is worship. The second most important thing in prayer is that we ask the Lord's will to be done in our lives. So in the journey to holiness, the first thing is to be set apart, to be conformed to His will. The second thing is the second thing of the dictionary, spiritually pure. We have to attain a purity. And you can't attain a purity if you're reading Stephen King. You're reading any of the worldly novels. You can't obtain a purity because you're filling yourself with things that aren't pure. What does Paul say? Think on these things that are pure, that are good, that are holy, that are right. He didn't say, think on the fear factor. Think on watching someone's gut splattered against your TV and then figuring out which way the bullet went. Think on who's sleeping with who this week on your soap opera. He said, think on these things that are holy and pure. Then, the next thing in your spiritual growth, and this one applies to God especially, He evokes awe. But have you ever seen in a Christian that is holy how people look at them like, wow. They'll teach a lesson, they'll speak a word, and people just like, whoa. That's when you reach that step. When you open your mouth and the people around you are just caught in awe momentarily because the Holy Ghost has spoke through you. Yeah, you can have people be in awe about you. And it has nothing to do with conceit. It has to be the Holy Spirit going through you. But see, God's thought of holy because we have an awe for Him. We have a holy fear of Him. And you know, people, when you get to this step in your holiness, you're going to see people have a holy fear of you. If you have never yet seen people just walk away from you or get up from a table in a restaurant next to you for no reason at all, you've never gotten there. But when you seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your might, there are going to be people out there that are receptive to the Spirit. And they're going to sense your spiritual purity, and they're going to want to move away from it. And I know I've had that firsthand experience. And I know other people that have had that firsthand experience, that for absolutely no reason, people will see you coming and they'll move to the other side of a room to walk by you. And then the other way, people will see you coming and they'll stop and talk to you that you don't even know, but they just want to get to know you. It's when you reach that. The fourth and final level that tells you you're totally, spiritually, holy, and pure is when the supernatural power of God comes down. And that's why you see it in the great ministers and great workers in the church. You see the gifts, not just speaking of tongues, but prophesying, laying on of hands and healing, the words of knowledge, the interpretations of tongues. Those do not come to someone that's not holy. Think about it. What would have happened if the power that Peter had, I mean, when Peter walked by people, his shadow healed. Peter laid hands on people, they were made well. Peter would have a cloth, a handkerchief anointed, and so would Paul, and people would be healed of demons. They would be healed of sicknesses. Now, what would happen to that if that was given to someone that was not absolutely totally holy? You're mad at somebody because you can't make a car payment and they're threatening to replace your, repossess your truck? You just put a little oil on a handkerchief and pray over it and send it to them, and the next day they die. You don't like your school's teacher because she's mean to your kids? They have leprosy. That's why people that aren't 100% holy never ever see the manifestations of the gifts.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.